Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Highly familiar with Coach Flores and his schematic approach to football, but it certainly doesn't make the preparation process or the playing against it any less difficult. He's very multiple in his schemes and thoughtful. He attacks protections from a passing game perspective and does so very well. He plays in an aggressive up posture, structured defensively. It doesn't always mean that he blitzes a lot. Sometimes he can fall out of that into a variety of bogus zones. More than anything, man, he carries a big menu. He challenges you individually and collectively from a football intellect perspective. I think the veteran-laden secondary really allows a lot of those things to happen. I think the return of Harrison Smith is significant.
That's Mike Tomlin talking about Brian Flores, and Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Doug Whaley with us until 10 o'clock. Hi, Doug.
Morning, everybody. And I'll tell you this much. There's times in your life when you realize you've made that transition. I'm definitely an old man now. It's raining. I'm like, yes.
Your hip, hip throbbing.
No. My lawn, it was yellow. Now I'm like, oh, yes, give me some rain.
Oh, give me that rain.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm like, man,
I'm an old man.
Yeah. Worried about my lawn.
Need of that rain.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things old guys love to tell you. Number one might be, we needed that rain.
Yes.
Number two might be, this is a big third down right here.
Oh,
guys, they'll tell you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It could be first quarter, you're down seven. It's a big third down right here. So really, where'd you get your PhD in football at Villanova? Seriously. It's a big third down here? You told me you can sleep on planes too, Doug, that to me is a superpower. If I could sleep on the plane, which I never have been able to in my entire life, I would be a lot less anxious about flying.
I've woken up sometimes and been like, oh, we're in the air. I can sleep before it even pulls out of the gate.
I've done that.
Oh, absolutely.
I've done that.
What?
I've done that. Oh, a bunch of times.
And the G-forces don't wake you up?
No. Mm-hmm. Knocked out. Mm-hmm.
I remember one time I was coming back from L.A. And I fell asleep before we took off. And I woke up when we landed in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Literally.
Yeah.
I had a whole row to myself.
Was it an overnight?
No.
Damn.
Mm-mm.
I got
like
a good
five
story.
And a half hours.
Off air, I'll tell you too.
Oh, just tell us now, Doug.
No.
Maybe don't. I don't know. I don't know if.
No, we're good. You know what? No, we care about you. We're not going to let that happen.
No.
I almost did.
Mm-hmm.
Doran cares about you more. So that was okay. Mike Tomlin way back when, at the beginning of this segment, talking about Brian Flores. And we were talking to Ray Fittipaldo about this earlier, and he said he has a ton of respect for Flores. Ray does, because every place he's gone, you can see elements of the defense from where he was, and he's implemented it all, and he's kind of got this hodgepodge sort of defense, which is avant-garde and does all kind of weird stuff. And I asked Ray, I said, did the Steelers take anything from Flores? And he said, no.
No.
He was basically a glorified linebacker coach. A, how do you let that guy get away? And B, he's a great defensive coordinator. How do you not have some elements of what this highly successful guy's doing on your defense after he's departed?
That'd be a great question for Coach Tomlin.
It would be.
And I would also ask Brian Flores, did you learn anything from Coach? And have you, with your evolution, did you see aspects of the evolution in Mike Tomlin and his defense the year you were there? And being sent, and talking to Kevin O'Connell saying, hey, this is what they do. Are they still doing this? Have they evolved? I'm everything you hear, and it seems like everything we see, he's probably running. It seems like he's running the same stuff he ran once Dick LeBeau left, because when you talk to a lot of the offensive players that have played against him, oh yeah, we know what they were going to do.
Predictable,
yeah, very predictable. Where is the evolution? And that's why we're probably seeing a lot of these third down conversions. Mike Vrabel's been around long enough to know, oh, this is what they're going to do. He's been in a similar system. Now, they've probably changed it a little bit because it's not Dick LeBeau's system, but he's going to say, these are the bases that he cut his teeth on and had success early as a head coach. He's keeping those principles. So that's where I think the league, and especially these young, innovative coaches, are catching up to Mike Tomlin.
Do you think that he's saying that, you know, with the injuries and especially on the back end, that the defense will look different? Like, do you think it will look different whenever somebody like DeShawn Elliott and Joey Porter Jr. do get healthy and come back? Or do you think that people are still going to have a beat on them?
I think they're still going to have a beat on them. And when they were healthy, you still heard the communication issue.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, I keep saying it, you're either allowing it or coaching it. And if you're not coaching it, you're allowing it. So as a coach, you need to change. And guess what? I would rather them go out there and play straight cat coverage, 3 or 2 or 4, whatever, and don't have any checks and execute.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to do something and you're not executing because everybody's on a different page. So what are you gaining here?
Right.
What are you trying to do to prove that you just keep hammering that brick wall and thinking you're going to push through? He even says it's the definition of insanity.
And you start thinking about the conversions that the Patriots had on third downs, on fourth downs. Two of them, there were obvious coverage busts. And then, I mean, I'll have to go back in my mind's eye, but I don't feel like Drake May was dropping them in a bucket.
No.
There are guys running wide-ass open, Doug.
Wide open.
So what is it, Mike? You're saying you're playing these vanilla coverages because you got a bunch of new guys and a bunch of hurt guys, but yet you're still having these miscommunications. Like, that's not an excuse to me.
And if I was a veteran player, then like, well, wait a minute. We had all offseason, we had training camp, and we're still having busts here. Why am I coming to camp, and why am I going to training camp?
Yeah, what are we working on?
What are we doing?
I just want to go to Sharky's.
Yeah. And that's where it's something that I think Art and Omar would be like, well, help us understand this. You are a veteran coach. You've had a staff together for a long time. You're bringing in veteran players, especially at certain positions, that should be able to realize what you're trying to do and be able to communicate and execute because they've been in systems. They're not fresh and green out of college. So that's the question that needs to be asked. And how come no one's ever asked that?
It just feels odd to me that like somebody like Jalen Ramsey comes to the Pittsburgh Steelers and you hear so much about him in training camp and him moving around doing different things, and then you go watch a Seattle game and it's like they're lost. Like that's what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm like, so what was he doing?
Yeah.
Or were they doing something different in training camp because, you know, DeShawn Elliott, that one player allowed you to do something different?
Right.
Like, and you didn't prepare for if somebody does get hurt that you are going to alter your defense? Like, it just, the communication on the field seems off at times, but more the communication from the field to the coaching staff definitely feels off, and it has for years.
And I think it's exasperated by them saying, this is the best defense we're going to have historic and all this. You can't even communicate.
Mm-mm.
That's football 101.
Right.
Leo, Roger. What are we doing here?
Then it trickles down to the linebackers,
yes,
and they look lost as well.
Oh, man.
I watched the Green Bay Packers in week one play elite level defense, and Micah Parsons is a guy you're going to move all over the field. He's a matchup nightmare. He comes in, they play well. They absolutely shut down a Lions team that then goes on to put up 52 points and then goes on to do what it did to the Baltimore Ravens. Ooh. And how are they able to do that? I mean, Micah Parsons, new player. Well, Jair Alexander not there anymore. How are they able to do that, Doug? How can you play good defense when you've got new pieces? It's ridiculous to me because, Doran, you're right. After the Ravens game, they were talking about miscommunication.
Mm-hmm.
After the Chiefs loss, that might have been the worst of it on Christmas. Was it Christmas or Christmas Eve?
No, it was Christmas.
Who cares?
Yeah, it was Christmas Day. Wednesday.
Christmas,
yeah,
it was Christmas Day, yeah. It was Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
I've said that now 6 times.
Yeah, Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christmas. Was it on Christmas, Doug?
No, I think it was.
Okay, it was Christmas. That was the game. Oh, miscommunication issues. How at the end of the year is that happening? And then beginning of the year.
Nothing's changed.
And this is what I like the Ramsey move because corner to me is more valuable than safety in the mm-hmm. league. And you see salaries reflect that, blah, blah. And he's a very good player. I had my concerns about, are they going to have him doing too much? Be simple then.
And I think I said it last week. I think for the way the defense is so confused now and for the future of the organization, put Ramsey as the number one guy on the number one receiver. You follow him. And Joey Porter and Slay, you guys do the combination on two and three. And guess what? Porter, every Tuesday when it's day off, we're coming in, you, me, Jalen Ramsey, and we're watching him and saying, that's what you need to mimic yourself after so you can get paid and almost be maybe a future Hall of Famer. So mimic him. Mm-hmm. And that's where you get less communication breakdowns and you start developing your corner and you start having a foundation so you can have a competitive team in the future.
I do wonder what they're going to do with Jarrell Peppers and Juan Thornhill and Chuck Clark and Deshaun Elliott, whenever Deshaun Elliott comes back.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that they, and I know that Jarrell Peppers is more of a box safety, mm-hmm. and so is Deshaun Elliott, but I feel like you have to have those two on the field at the same time. Like, that's your best defense.
Defense.
Mm-hmm. Is whenever Joey Porter Jr. gets healthy, Deshaun Elliott gets healthy, and you have the nucleus of Darius Slay and Jalen Ramsey and those two, I feel like that's your best defense. You got to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that's a good problem to have, but I don't know that I agree with my own statement there. Like, because I think Deshaun Elliott's a good box safety, too, and Jarrell Peppers a good box safety, and Chuck Clark is cut from that cloth. Thornhill's really the only true legitimate free that they have, mm-hmm. unless it's going to be Jalen Ramsey.
Right.
So
here's where I'd throw a wrench in that statement. Okay, you say you have those two guys out there, and then you play a team with two athletic tight ends, and then they put them in the slot, and those two trying to cover those athletic tight ends in the slot. Like a Pitts.
Go have Ramsey on one of them.
There you go. But all right, then. All right, I see.
Nickel.
Well, okay, do it that way.
When we come back, Mike Tomlin says the offense is running the ball poorly because the defense sucks. Ben Roethlisberger seems to have different ideas. We'll tell you what he had to say on his podcast when we come back. The Fan Text Line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Hey, personal injury law firm, they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He's been getting hit. Okay, no sacks. Congratulations. Aaron still got hit a bunch. There's a play where Broderick Jones is standing completely upright, and the guy basically runs right through him. It's actually the play we laughed about when his guy hit Aaron as soon as he threw it, and Broderick ran by. Remember, yanked his shoulder out of place? That play, if you go back and watch it, because I went back and watched two plays specifically to watch the line play. Broderick he's so upright, and you can't stand upright as a tackle. You've got to get low because guys are just going to get underneath you. James Harrison, what do you talk about? Leverage. You get a guy, like if James Harrison was going against Broderick Jones, he'd have 15 sacks a game. I'm telling you, the low leverage he's going to get around Broderick has to be better in protecting.
No, he would just hold and then it wouldn't be called. That's how that would go.
15 in one game.
You know who always had a hard time against James Harrison? Well, everybody.
Everybody.
But Eric Fisher.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
For the Chiefs.
For the Chiefs. Yeah.
Oh, you know James Harrison was drooling at night thinking about going up against that guy the next day.
So hard to block.
He would absolutely work Broderick Jones, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what's coming up for our good pal Broderick after the Ireland game? Good old Miles Garrett, and then Trey Hendrickson.
Yep. And then shortly after that, Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons.
Oh, he's okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Mike Tomlin said, yeah, the running game's not quite where it needs to be because we can't get off the field on defense, so we don't run enough plays on offense. That's why we're not running the ball very well. At least that was the issue in the New England game. Ben out here just destroying Broderick Jones, and you're furrowing your brow like the rest of us were, Doug, because that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard from Mike Tomlin.
Weren't they up 14-0?
Bingo.
Mic drop right there.
Also,
game set match.
When an offense runs 49 plays and a defense has to go up against 71 plays, you can say, yes, the defense, they can get off the field. You can also say that the offense
can stay on the field. Yes.
And if this is difficult logic to follow, maybe if you run the ball better on first and second down, maybe then you have convertible third downs, and then maybe you stay on the field.
On the field.
Chicken and egg. I think it's much more an offensive line issue right now than it is anything else running the football, Doug. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing the same thing, and we talked about this. I think the public, the media, and everybody's understanding now that when Mike Tomlin speaks, a lot of words come out, but he doesn't say anything. Because that statement right there lets you know that he's trying to talk over everybody to say, you really don't know. But when you look at it, when you're up 14-0, you don't need to be throwing. It's not, if they were down 14-0, that statement makes sense. Because, hey, we're trying to get back in the game, so we're going to throw.
Mm-hmm.
You're up 14-0. You need to dedicate to the run to bleed the clock and to keep your defense off the field. So it's coming down to lack of execution, which comes down to the lack of play of the offensive line. And after a while, you got to look at Arthur Smith. All right, you have a subpar offensive line. You need to start being a little more imaginative in your run game to help them out, because what you're doing now isn't working. So switch it up. You get paid a lot of money, and coach always says he gets highly compensated. Well, then start proving why you're getting highly compensated, both of them.
What about the lack of usage of tight ends? I mean, we thought 13 personnel maybe be their top personnel, and they don't. I mean, Pat Freiermuth had 6 yards and one catch, I think, last game.
And that's Arthur Smith's
bread and butter,
his bread and butter. So this is I don't have an answer for that. I mean, I'm not looking at the defense and they're stacking up and focusing all on the tight ends. It's not like they got double puck coverage on Freiermuth or Jonnu Smith. I mean, I just think the lack of imagination and saying, okay, if we're not doing this well, let's stop trying to keep doing it. Let's do something else to help and maybe come back to that. All right, if we're not running, the running plays we're calling aren't working, let's do something different. Let's do some old school, just power eye.
Right.
Let's see if it works.
That's what we were talking about earlier, too. Maybe
that's
at the
bye
week that Arthur Smith, if it doesn't work this weekend in Ireland, the running game, that you kind of have to scrap what your running offense is and
no.
go to a different angle. And you got to go to a different kind of formula.
And self-evaluation, I've always said this is key to life. They, at this bye week, they need to do some self-scouting.
Yeah.
They need the defensive guys to come in and watch the offense go in, watch the defense, and share notes and saying, hey, fellas, this is why that's not happening, because, boom, here's your weakness, here's how we're going to expose you, and here's how we're going to attack you on both sides of the ball. Don't be afraid to just get raw and real with people. And sometimes it's not hurting their feelings.
No!
We're trying to get better. That's how I would see it.
So Mike Gundy's in the news because he got fired, which is tough because he was a really good coach at Oklahoma State. Clearly, they weren't playing well. The reason I bring him up is Ollie Gordon, who's a running back now for the Miami Dolphins. 2 years ago, they lost to South Alabama. Oklahoma State did. And Ollie Gordon, who was a stud, wasn't doing jack. They had a bye week. They came out of the bye week. They switched from man-to-man blocking scheme to a zone blocking scheme. He wound up rushing for like 1,800 yards. Mm-hmm. They played for the Big 12 championship. It has been done before.
Yes.
You can do it. We talked about it earlier. Kenny Pickett's rookie season. Before the bye, they had a certain blocking scheme. Wasn't working out. After the bye, they were legitimately one of the best rushing offenses in the NFL, averaging 140 yards per game. You got one more shot.
Mm-hmm.
You got this week. And if you don't figure it out this week, you got 2 weeks to fix it. Because if they don't run the ball, they're going to suck. Like they are not going to have a winning season. One of the reasons why I thought Rodgers would be more of a fit here than he was in New York is because they very rarely ran the ball in New York last year. He's 41 years old. You need to help him out. That he's had the production, the 7 touchdowns through 3 weeks without them having a running game, I'm not going to say it's a miracle, but I don't think it's sustainable.
Correct.
Not sustainable because of his age, but more importantly, because he's getting hit a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not, taps here. He's getting bone-crushing hits.
Yep. Sandwiched.
Yes. And I'm talking even young quarterbacks after a while, 17, 18 weeks, it's going to be hard to keep that level of play up. So they have to do something. And they just paid the guy. Think about game one. Gamewell was the guy.
Yeah, he had
that. You're like, wait a minute, you just gave this other guy a bunch of money? What?
And it was, Gamewell played, 24 snaps? And it was 28 for Warren in game one?
Yep.
What the hell is that?
Yep. Yes.
It was 80% for Warren in the third game, but very bizarre. Very bizarre. What does Mike Tomlin call it? The labor, whatever.
Division of labor.
Division of labor. Thank you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I knew there was a math term in there, and that's where it was lost on me. You could also hear Ben there. Like, Ben's got nothing personally against Broderick Jones.
Yeah.
I think Ben was pissed off on behalf of Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, absolutely. His brethren.
Yes.
Like, wait a minute. You're going to hang my guy out to dry?
You're standing up like that, and Rodgers is taking a clean shot.
Well, they did it to him with Kedrick Green.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It is a little bit personal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't do that to us.
Your point about the tight ends, just to color it with a statistical backing here, Freiermuth, 3 games, 7 catches, 65 yards.
Hmm. Yeah.
Connor Hayward, 1 catch for 6 yards. Jonnu Smith, 12 catches for 65 yards. Five and a half yards a catch for Jonnu Smith. And Darnell Washington has yet to register a catch apart from his 2-point conversion.
And if I'm right, air yards per pass for Aaron Rodgers is like less than 5. He's like 28th in the league.
Yes.
I mean, this offense altogether needs a reboot.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely needs a reboot. And we have to be very happy that they're 2-1, but I have to put it all on Rodgers right now. If it wasn't for Rodgers, if it was any other quarterback, they might be 1-2.
I agree with that.
Might be 1-2.
I don't think he's been fabulous, but I think he's been clearly their best offensive player, maybe their best player overall.
Mm-hmm. I give it to him.
So air yards, you're 100% right. Bottom of the league. Yards per attempt, he's at 6.8, which is 14th in the league. So much of that is run after catch.
Yeah, track.
So much of that. Like, I don't mind that number because we've seen it be a lot lower in recent years for Steelers quarterbacks, but it's all yak. And that reminds me of the end of Ben when it was throw short, run long, and eventually teams will catch on to that.
Oh, absolutely.
You need to run the ball. You need to develop your deep passing game or else they're just going to be sitting on all this.
Or is it the coaching staff saying that offensive line isn't where we are, so we can't run, so we got to do short passing? Maybe they
could
are self-evaluation saying, this is the best what we got to do. This is what we got to do. This is the only way we can play offense. So that could be, they may be ahead of us in understanding and seeing what we're seeing and saying, this is what we got to do to win.
That's so great to hear that when you've got a second-round pick at center and 2 first-round picks to tackle, all that money tied up in Sayamal. That's just wonderful. You love to hear, oh, this offensive line, we have to throw it sideways because they can't block.
There's a saying in scouting, pick the right people, and more importantly, pay the right people. And
damn right.
We got to. That's where the focus is going to start looking at. Like, wait a minute. All right, what this evaluation process that has been implemented lately, what's the ROI going to be on it? And are you going to start investigating how you can improve this? And who's the main driving force behind the decision-making here? Is it Tomlin? Is it Omar? Is it Andy? Whatever it is, they need to start evaluating that as well because their last 2 or 3 drafts,
you ain't getting nothing.
A mixed bag. You'll have some bright spots, but all in all, you're not pumping your chest like when they drafted them.
They don't want us to know who's responsible for all that either.
Even if it's a team collective. Yep. I don't care who's responsible. It's the process.
Mm-hmm.
You need to reevaluate the process. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who it is.
Yep.
Evaluate the process and evolve it and get it better. And accept the fact that whatever it is, hasn't been producing the ROI needed.
A bright spot, the Ravens haven't played well yet. They are 1-2 despite scoring a bajillion points. Should we be happy about that? Yes, but can the Steelers really be a factor in the AFC North? We'll talk to Doug about that coming up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They pitch to Gibbs. Touchdown! It went from Goff to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he pitched it to Gibbs. And like Ben Johnson would call,
yeah,
it was a gadget play, and boy, was that a thing of beauty.
Ravens lose to the Lions. ESPN stats and info, for what it's worth, now give the Steelers a 20% chance of winning the AFC North. Ravens sitting there at 1-2. Ravens taking on the Chiefs on the road at Arrowhead Stadium this weekend. One of those teams is going to be 1-3. Doug, is there enough of a crack? Is there enough of an opportunity? Are the Ravens bad enough for the Steelers to be able to win the AFC North, in your opinion?
In my opinion, there's a crack. I still need to see more from the Steelers. I don't know if I believe more in the sustainability of the Ravens to keep putting up 30-plus points than the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Now, what I saw against the Detroit Lions, if the Steelers can start to formulate some type of rushing attack, I can see them taking at least 1 or 2 from them.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. But I just don't see the Steelers consistently putting up 30-plus points. And because the 30-plus points the Steelers are putting up when they do looks a lot different than the Ravens when they're putting up 30 to 40 points.
And don't forget, like we talked about this the other day, like the Ravens played Super Bowl contenders.
True.
And they're going to play them again. You know, out of their four games, three of them are Super Bowl contenders, yes. Like legit, no question Super Bowl contenders. They've lost by, you know, what, 10 points?
Nine combined points. Yeah.
And then who have the Steelers played?
Exactly. They put up points against the Jets.
Yeah. I like Seattle. I bet you Seattle winds up finishing with a pretty good record. I think their defense is fabulous. I feel worse about New England now than I did coming into the year. I thought they could be squirrely. I'm not so sure that I see that anymore, but we'll see how they progress moving forward. You might want to play the right running back if you're Vrabel.
Yeah.
My man fumbled 7 times last season. And you're just going to keep playing him? I just don't understand that. Not whenever you're on a running back, but who cares? They got their problems. Steelers got their problems. Baltimore's given up 415 yards a game this season.
Mm-hmm.
And before I write them off as a division champion, I need to see them a little bit longer. Because last year through 8 games, they were as bad could be. I mean, they were historically bad defensively. And they started off slow. They were 0-2. Derrick Henry didn't get going. The question is, can they tap into something? And we talked about this earlier, Doran. They flipped the switch last year with Dean Pease coming in. What's the break glass in case of emergency thing now, or have they utilized all their tricks?
I think they utilized all their tricks. I don't see where, because what I saw against Detroit was them getting punched in the mouth and in a street fight and getting beat down, tapping out. I saw Roquan Smith and their other linebackers getting not even trying to come downhill and stop the run. They're just waiting to catch blocks. And it was a manhandling. And that's tough to come back from. And that's not scheme. That's hard. So they need to have a players-only meeting on the defense and say, all right, enough's enough. We look like we're stepchildren out there. Mm-hmm. And we need to look in the mirror and say, forget scheme, forget this. Let's go out there and have a street fight and brawl. And win, lose, or draw, as long as they walk out of that stadium knowing they were in a fight, they need to start having that attitude.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not forget, though, the Steelers, going back to the Steelers are going to have to play these two teams that beat the Ravens.
Yeah.
Later on in the season.
Yeah.
And you want to substitute, you're not going to play the Chiefs, which you might want to play the Chiefs. Don't mm-hmm. know how their season's going to go, but you're going to have to play the Chargers instead of the Chiefs.
Oh, on the road.
On the road.
So, real quick to the Chiefs, and just going back to my GM days, now you are seeing how difficult it is to put a team around a franchise quarterback when you start paying those quarterbacks. And that's what you're seeing in the Chiefs. It is very difficult because you have to be at a 70 to 80% clip hitting on your draft choices because you don't have that money to substitute a lot of free agents in there. And that's what's really happening to the Chiefs. Mahomes hasn't gotten any worse.
No.
It's just the surrounding cast isn't as good. Kelsey's on his way out. They have no receivers to speak of. The offensive line, they've had trouble even before they were paying him. So it's a tough business.
So maybe this is a dumb question, but if you have – so say that you're an owner and you have a quarterback like a Mahomes where you know that like he – I mean, he's brought so many Super Bowls. You know that he's going to be around. Could you sell equity in a contract? Equity of a team instead of paying cash?
You're talking to –
to
quarterback?
Mahomes, yeah.
To Mahomes?
Like, could they be like, hey, we'll give you X percent?
No.
Okay, you can't do that.
Yeah, that's circumventing the salary cap.
Gotcha. And,
yeah, Eddie DeBartolo tried to do that in San Francisco. Not equity, but he used to do everything like they did with Kawhi.
Okay,
Leonard.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah,
gotcha.
And then they got busted. So,
oh, gotcha.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know that the Royals did for Mahomes, right? Doesn't he have equity?
In the Royals?
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It might be a little like triangle deal there.
Get Pablo Torre's ass on that.
Now, they could probably, because... No, I'm thinking Kroenke because he owns the Nuggets and stuff like that mm-hmm. and the Avalanche. Hey, you know, you can be a little minority owner. And then he gives them a discount a little bit because the valuation and what they pay, the other owners are not going to say, you can't do that because then that suppresses ours. So it'd have to be fair market, but that could be an option.
There's been like some loose talk about like the NFL quarterback cap. Instead of separate.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I don't know if I like that. I think that'll affect parity, and I like the parity. Maniac on the YouTube stream writes in, the guy in the middle is great, really smart. Who is he? Hire him immediately. Yeah, that's Doug Whaley, and we have him on every Wednesday. He's being paid by the company. I think he enjoys our company, but I believe, yes, he is on the payroll. So every Wednesday from 9 until 10.
Thank you.
You can hear Whaley words of wisdom. And today, this segment will be brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Texter writes in, commercial says the Fan is sending Adam Crowley to Ireland. That's a good decision. Bringing Crowley back is a bad decision.
Hmm.
I got fans everywhere, boys.
Haters or lovers, the same amount of space in their head.
That's
that
right.
You occupy.
I like that idea.
I mean, I'd stay fine. All right.
Hey, the show would be 5 hours ahead, so you'd be at, what, 10 to about 2?
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. That isn't bad.
That really isn't. Mm-hmm. I mean,
quality of life would go up.
I think it would.
For us here.
Oh.
Me and Callis.
He didn't get that until after.
That was a good joke. If not there being a kernel of truth in it. You know what they say in Ireland all the time? Where's the crack?
What does that mean?
It means, where's the good time? And when I went there 7 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever it was, we're at this pub, we're drinking beers, we're all singing songs, and then, hey, let's go to a different pub. And the guy goes, where's the crack? I was like, I'm not into that. Like, that is not, I did not know that you guys were big on that over here.
Exactly. I'm tapping out.
I don't think, it was nice to meet you. I think that's where it ends. And he's like, no, we're going to go have a fun time. I'm like, okay.
I wonder if that's why crack got its name here in the States from an Irish.
Oh, maybe.
Man, this is the crack.
Maybe.
Their origin.
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
All right. Let's end on that. Huh?
Have fun.
Terribly nervous. What's the over-under on Guinness consumed, somebody writes in. I told my wife I was going to have 10 a day, and she told me that's ridiculous. I think that's probably...
But
legit.
I've been to Dublin and Ireland, and for some reason, the Guinness over there tastes.
Oh my God, dude.
Totally different.
Oh my God.
You could have 10 a day over there.
I would bathe in it. It is so good. And I love Guinness over here. It's mind-blowing.
Is it their
good.
Tap system? Or probably.
It's the tap system. It's fresh. It's the tap system. I think there's some level of probably preservative that has to be in it whenever they ship it overseas. But it is. Yeah. It's not even comparable. Yeah.
All right. Have fun. Enjoy, man.
I think the Steelers are going to get smacked, by the way.
What?
I think they're getting smacked.
Score.
What do you think? 28-17. Does that count as a smacking? Yeah, they'd cover. Yeah. They'd win and cover.
I think they're going to lose. Right now. It's Wednesday.
Subject to change.
Subject
I like that.
Change, yes.
I'll say this. I'm on the fence because I've seen the game I saw the Vikings, they played good defense and they ran the ball very well. So I'm still calculating what I'm going to say.
It's early. It's still Wednesday. All right, going to go find a crack. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group. That could have multiple connotations.
Yes, it can.
Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions brought to you by Myers Law Group today. High of 71, low 63, 80% chance of rain.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.